soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de la gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW, DaspitLaw.com. By the way, quick word here for Advantage BMW in Midtown. When you go to Advantage BMW in Midtown, you'll experience premier service that is tailored to you. You'll find performance and luxury there. Excellence at Advantage BMW in Midtown isn't just offered, it's expected. Get with the expert sales team, Justin, Steven. They can help you find the perfect new certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. Discover something special. Discover your hometown Advantage at San Jacinto and Gray or at AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Advantage BMW in Midtown. Now, all of you know how much I love different genres of music. My next guest, Jesse Dayton, born in Beaumont, Texas, is currently on tour with Samantha Fish. He is one hell of a guitar player, musician, vocalist. He's been an actor, producer. He has played with such legends as Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Glenn Danzig, Rob Zombie, and has an extensive list of great albums of his own. Let's go outside of the box with Jesse Dayton. Well, Jesse, I got to think this is probably the first time you've ever been interviewed on a soccer show.
Definitely on a soccer show. No, I've never been on a soccer show. I've been on, you know, some baseball shows and football shows. And of course, I'm a huge Astros fan. But yeah, we're breaking new ground here, man.
All right. This is good. I'm not going to ask you to break down the Real Madrid-Bayern Munich game. Don't worry. Let's get into your career. Beaumont, Texas is the first thing that comes out to me. And when I was a kid, I learned about Edgar and Johnny Winter. Tell me about growing up in Beaumont, the musical influences, where they came from.
Well, I actually grew up two blocks over from Edgar and Johnny. For the listeners who don't know, we're talking about Johnny Winter and Edgar Winter. And they were these kind of albino blues Gulf Coast rock stars that had huge multi-platinum records on the radio back in the day. And they would walk into the Dairy Queen in Beaumont. And man, this is back when, you know, only sailors and criminals had tattoos. So you would see these guys walk in and they had, you know, they were just effervescent. You could see straight through them because they were albinos with white hairs, real white skin, and they had these tattoos on them. And you know, conservative Beaumont just lost their ever loving mind. But of course, we all thought they were the coolest guy ever, you know, coolest guys ever.
Jesse, like yourself, you know, what is it about Beaumont that has brought out this history of great musicians and music?
Well, you know, the thing about Beaumont is that people who aren't really into music history don't know. They just don't know, and I don't blame them for it. You know, there's a lot of stuff in the world that I don't nerd out on and that I don't know about and that I'm late to the party on, and, you know, and somebody else is the king of the cool contest on it. But Beaumont, Texas, used to have this massive recording scene there in the 40s and 50s. So George Jones, Lefty Frizzell, like all these great country singers who everyone that you hear on the radio now is like directly owes their careers to. These guys were in Beaumont, Texas. And then you had, you know, we're right on the Texas-Louisiana border. So we had tons of Zydeco music. We had tons of Cajun music. We had, you know, Beaumont was this amazing immigrant place because all these immigrants came there during the it was the first real oil boom in Texas, not in West Texas. It happened before West Texas. It was called Spindletop, and it was the biggest oil well boom in North America history. And so all these people, it's just like the gold rush, all these people came there. And of course, the joke is, you know, all the rich guys moved to Houston. you know, but there's a lot of culture there, man. And, you know, I grew up around a lot of Cajun people in Beaumont, and, you know, it would have been just as easy for me to go to Lafayette or New Orleans than it was to go to Austin, which is where I've been living, you know, since the 1900s.
Talking to Jesse Dayton, jessedayton.com has got the, do we call it an album now, Jesse? I guess. Death
I call them albums.
Yeah,
I still
I'm
call
sticking
them.
With I'm album de- until
I'm
I,
defiant
until I'm
in that and let my old age freak flag fly, man.
Yeah, there you go. Death Wish Blues with Samantha Fish, a great guitarist. How did that collaboration come around? Because I always wonder, you know, when I see musicians and they get together, and is it because they were walking by each other one day, or agents put them together? How did that come together with her? And by the way, as I mentioned before the interview, I saw your show in Austin with her. Absolutely fantastic. But how did that collaboration come around?
Well, it happened real organically. You know, Samantha used to open up for me in her hometown of Kansas City. I would come through town and I'd be like, I wonder if that girl that smokes on the guitar is going to be opening up for us. And sure, you know, she was opening up for us. And I actually heard Samantha before I saw who she was. I was upstairs in the backstage and I go, wow, who's playing guitar down there? And this guy goes, there's some young girl down there playing guitar. And I was like, really? So I went downstairs and she just blew me away. Anyway, we kept in touch with each other over the years. And of course now she's, you know, blowing up. She's playing with Eric Clapton and, you know, playing on all these huge gigs. So I'm playing a gig with my band in New Orleans, where she lives now, and her manager come out, and her manager is an old friend of mine. Me and a guy named Tab Benoit got signed at the same time back when we were kids, and he managed Tab. So, they both were like, hey, would you be interested in doing a record together? And then literally like a year later, we had recorded the record in New York City with John Spencer. And we were doing interviews like 3 days ago in Paris.
Incredible. Talking to Jesse Dayton, jessedayton.com. You know, categories are things people in media like to put, you know, alt country, outlaw country. You're incredibly versatile. I mean, I'd look at you and you'd be like a soccer player that's versatile, that can do a lot of different things. I think you pull influences from a lot of areas. I'm not trying to get too musical here because this is not in my wheelhouse. But is that fair to say?
Absolutely, man. And, you know, growing up in Beaumont, we had to play just to make a living. I mean, when I was 18 years old, I took my parents to dinner and told them that I wasn't going to be going to the University of Texas because I was making $500 a week playing in an all-black Zydeco band in Lake Charles.
Wow.
And 4 years later, I was playing with Johnny Cash and Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson. And then I went on to, you know, play with Glenn Campbell and all these greats. And then I started, you know, playing in rock circles, Social Distortion and Mike Ness and the Super Suckers.
Love the
and
Super
X. Suckers. You know, I played guitar in X when Billy Zoom got sick. So it was me, DJ, John Doe, and Exene. And then I got into doing film score. And I realized that, wow, I don't have to go to Des Moines three times a year. I can make mailbox money and like actually be able to afford to put my kid through the University of Texas. So I started doing film scores for Rob Zombie. And Rob Zombie met me on a fluke and he said, hey, we're making this ultimate white trash horror movie called The Devil's Rejects. And we think your music would be perfect. which is kind of, you know, it's kind of a left-handed compliment, but that's how it started. And then after I did that one with Rob, then we did, you know, Halloween together, and I did some other stuff for a bunch of people, and that kind of gave me the power to say no. Like I had like I was famous before that, but I was broke, Glenn.
Yeah.
And then when I finally made some ching-a-ling and got an accountant and all that, then I could say, I don't feel like doing this, or it's the power of no, which is, I wish everyone in the world could experience it. 'Cause I come from super working class people, and it's, it took a long time to get here.
The power to say no, that's something that's pretty, that just jumped out. I mean, you have to get to a point to be able to say that, but isn't that just almost like a surreal experience? It's just great to be able to, hey, no, I can't really do this. I want to protect whatever I'm trying to protect.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you hope that you have some kind of integrity. I mean, I've done all kinds of wacky stuff, it's show business. So there's no book on how to do any of this stuff. And like, I just went and played guitar for Glenn Danzig on a couple of shows in Los Angeles. And I'm not going to be able to do that anymore because I'm out with Samantha and we're doing it. And, it's just your career. I guess it just really depends on who you are and what your circumstances are. But for me, I've always let myself be open to new experiences. And I think if more people did that, they would have more interesting lives. But most of my friends who play country stay in country. Most of them who play heavy metal stay in heavy metal. Most of them are punk rockers, or, they all stay in their box. But I hear them at soundcheck and when I'm hanging out their house, and it's like, dude, you're playing the blues.
Yeah.
Or they're sitting around on their guitar playing jazz licks, yeah. And I think we're all like that, but I think back in the day, me and you are old enough to remember when there were scenes.
Absolutely.
And everyone was super loyal to their scenes. You had the goths and the new wavers and the punkers and the hillbilly country people. And you had all that stuff. And now with my kid, it's just all on a playlist.
Yeah. Does that bother you?
It's a weird, but I don't want to be, hey, you kids, get off my lawn.
Right, right, right.
Because that doesn't, there's enough grumpy old you-know-whats in the world.
That's true.
And what do I got to be grumpy about,
Exactly. We're talking to Jesse Dayton, jessedayton.com. He's Death Wish Blues is their newest, I'm going to say it, album with Samantha Fish, if you get a chance to see him. So, look, you talked about touring and things changing. And by the way, to the playlist point, for musicians, it's difficult. I mean, you're still hitting it hard. You were in Europe. I know you and I were bouncing back and forth trying to do this interview.
Yeah.
Not that this is a priority in your life.
It is.
You're grinding it still.
I am grinding it, but I'm grinding it under different circumstances, like I said earlier, this year is going to be crazy because I made a record with Samantha Fish, and Samantha Fish has become a big star. And so she was kind enough to do a duets record with me. So, we're going to be, our agent has us booked all the way to next January.
Unbelievable.
But I'll be coming home like I am now for a few days at a time, popping out, doing the tours. We got some real exciting stuff that's coming up, and, for me, just going out and playing, when you're in a tour bus and you're in a nice hotel, it's a lot different than being the punk rock, do it yourself, DIY in a van. And so it's not as rough as it used to be.
All right. That's part one of Jesse Dayton, man. I've seen him so many times over the years in places like the Continental Club, just so I'm up in Austin with Samantha Fish. You have an opportunity to see Jesse Dayton and Samantha Fish. You got to do it. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. Head over to 2775 Fondren. You'll get the best in modern contemporary furniture. Danish Inspiration should be on your bucket list. of modern contemporary furniture shopping, DanishInspirations.com. If you go there, you can see the wide selection and the Stressless line. The best in modern contemporary furniture presented by the great Dane Jan Christensen and DanishInspirations.com. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And every week, you hear the Danish Dynamite segment. All right, let's break. We'll come back with more from Jesse Dayton.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW for the best personal injury attorney. All right, here's part two of musician Jesse Dayton. By the way, grew up only two blocks away from the legendary Johnny and Edgar Winter in Beaumont, Texas. Speaking of punk rock, I love The Clash, brand new Cadillac. Guys do an amazing, that's just an amazing cover of that song. Tell me a little bit about your connection, love of The Clash, and then why you chose brand new Cadillac.
Well, I got to see The Clash at the auditorium in Houston. And they played two gigs there, I think. And I was a kid and I went with an older friend of mine. I think I was 14. And I went with an older friend of mine. I told my parents that I was sleeping at his house and that, you know, that kind of whole thing. And then we got in his mom's Corolla and we cruised from Beaumont to Houston, went to an all ages Clash show. And there was this guy opening up named Joe Ely. And I'd never heard of Joe Ely before. And I saw how The Clash adored Joe Ely. And I was like, wait, Joe Ely's from Lubbock. Like, he's from Texas. Like, so this whole kind of like Buddy Holly, Bobby Fuller, I Fought the Law and the Law Won and punk rock thing just hit me. And then I was like, even though I still love, you know, all the classic rock, ZZ Top, Led Zeppelin. I'm a huge fan of all that stuff. CCR, you know, The Clash became my band and that became my older brother's music. Of course, I would later come back around to it because it in my heart of hearts, I'm all about the first five ZZ Top records because I'm a Boma kid, you know. But, you know, I got to see The Clash and it changed my life. And because I saw like their live show, even if you don't like punk rock or you think you don't like punk rock or you think you don't like their voice or whatever, if you would have saw those guys live, they were so electric. It would blow your mind. So it kind of, you know, it kind of saved me from listening to power ballads by guys with goofy makeup on and tons of hairspray.
Gotcha. So I saw The Clash twice in New York, the famous Bond shows.
Wow.
Back to back, two nights. And I also saw him in England in Newcastle during a summer. And I was the only guy without a leather jacket in there that night. And I stuck out pretty well. But I love the power and passion of them too. That was so cool. You picked a brand new Cadillac. Now I want to take you into the blues and Slim Harpo and the hip shake. I think I learned of the hip shake from the Rolling Stones, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
So that got me to learn about Slim Harpo, and that's how I learned about the deeper South blues and began loving all that stuff, Little Walter, all these things the Stones were covering. That's the beauty of music to me. And then your version of it is awesome because there's a couple of really hard chords in there, right? I mean, you kind of powered up a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so if you put a gun to my head and made me choose, my favorite band would be the Rolling Stones.
Me too.
And I've seen the Rolling Stones 27 times. and I've met everybody in the band except Bill. Yeah. Because when I was recording with Waylon, they were recording across the hallway. So I got to meet all of them, except that's when Daryl Jones had joined the band. And, but they did a version of Hip Shake on Exile on Main Street, widely considered the greatest rock and roll record ever made, by any band. I mean, that's what the critics say, you know, whatever they mean. You know, critics, man, they're kind of like eunuchs at a gangbang, so don't put too much stock into them.
Correct.
But the thing about Slim Harpo is that I realized that Slim Harpo grew up right down the road from where I grew up. He's from, I mean, right on the other side of the border in Louisiana. And these records influence, you know, the Rolling Stones, who came out before Led Zeppelin. Sure, they came out after the Beatles, but we all know that they're cooler than the Beatles, even though I love the Beatles. They're never, you know, Paul and John were never going to be as cool as Mick and Keith because they were the bad boys. But it's amazing that one record on an independent label that came out in 1960 out of Crowley, Louisiana, influenced everything that would come after the Rolling Stones. And you can even hear Mick Jagger mimicking Slim Harpo. So if you guys are listening and you want to hear a Desert Island Blues record, go get Greatest Hits Slim Harpo. And you'll hear all the ZZ Top grooves, all the Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones. Like, I mean, they should be paying that guy's family a fortune.
Doesn't that have King B on it? Is King B his song?
King B's on it. Of course, the Stones did that.
Yeah.
And all that stuff came out of South Louisiana. You know, a lot of people think it's all from Memphis or, you know, all from Mississippi. But South Louisiana and East Texas were huge blues pioneer. The first million seller before Robert Johnson was by a guy named Blind Lemon Jefferson, and he was from East Texas as well. So where I grew up, there's a lot of mojo, man.
No question about it. We're talking to Jesse Dayton, jessedayton.com. I highly recommend Death Wish Blues, if my recommendation means anything. You're getting a little different audience tonight, Jesse, when it comes to the soccer crowd. So we're getting a few people into your music here, hopefully tonight. You know, what keeps you going? I mean, you know, obviously nobody achieves something like this without deep passion. Tell me how this keeps you going. I mean, is there just this infinity of creativity that's out there that you just want to keep trying to do different things and musically keep going? Is it the thrill of entertaining in front of people? You know, what are some of the deeper things that maybe drive you?
Well, I think a lot of times when people get our age, they kind of lose that little kid inside them. You know, they feel like, you know, they're just so exhausted. They've had to raise kids. They've had to work. And those are the real heroes of the world. Those people are people who, you know, who raise good families and raise good people and work hard. That's the real, you know, it's not all these other, all this other stuff we see on this silly political media, this silly volleyball. You know, I'm a centrist and I take a lot of crap for it because, you know, I feel like sometimes I'm the only guy who's thinking, what about common sense? You know?
Yeah. That's a good party to follow, the common sense.
Yeah.
Party.
Yeah. I'm an independent, you know? But you know, I see these people and they get tired and they get worn out and they're like, man, I used to really love doing that. I used to really love, you know, whatever, going to soccer games or, you know, getting season tickets for the year and like stuff like, and they just kind of, they're like, I'll just stay home and watch it or whatever. Well, whenever I play guitar, it makes me feel like I'm a 15-year-old kid, like putting those quarters on top of a turntable to slow the record down so I can learn like Johnny Winter and Jimi Hendrix and ZZ Top licks. Like every time I learn like something new on the guitar, it really does keep me young. And so I'm still excited about music. I mean, I do think about an exit plan, an exit strategy. I don't know that I'm going to do the Willie Nelson thing. You know, I think that, you know, me and the wife could, you know, sell our properties in Austin and end up, you know, somewhere in the north of Spain on the beach at some point. That wouldn't suck.
That would not be bad. The Caribbean,
you know, I like playing guitar for my Labradors as much as I like playing for the 15,000 people we played for in New Orleans last weekend. So, but I think people, you know, you got to get in touch. You know, I ride motorcycles, I watch baseball, I do a lot of stuff outside, you know, of music that keeps me in touch with that little kid, you know.
That's a good lesson for people to think about. Yeah, absolutely. Before I let you go, Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, I mean, you're a younger guy. And you meet these guys, you're working with these guys. I mean, how did a teenager handle that? A young kid handle that?
Well, so I'll give you the short version, but I'm playing in Austin, Texas at the Continental Club. And this woman walks in and she's a big time music executive named Evelyn Shriver. She's originally from New York, heavy New York accent. Been living in Nashville forever. And she says, look, I can't get you on country radio because you're too weird. I don't even know what genre you are. She goes, but I can get you on TV. And I was like, great. You know, I didn't know if she was for real or not, you know. So the next day, phone rings. She's like, come to Nashville. I'm going to put you on this country music television show. And so I get there and I've got my tattoos and my sideburns and I don't fit in. I don't look like the Garth Brooks neon shirt, you know, people and all that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'll do this show. You know, it's kind of like one step below the Christian Broadcasting Network, you know, and I'll do this show. And at least my parents and relatives back in Beaumont, Texas will feel better about my career. And then right before I walk out on stage, she walks in and goes, hey, Chris Christopherson's going to be on the show tonight. He wants to meet you. Whoa. So me and Chris end up hanging out that night. We go to the Gibson Guitar Factory and he has a limo and it takes me back to this dirtbag hotel I'm staying in because I don't have a record deal and I can't afford to stay where all the country stars are staying. And so the next morning my phone rings and this voice comes over the phone in my room and says, hey, Hoss, you want to come play guitar for me today? And I was like, who is this? He said, it's Waylon Jennings.
Oh my God.
He said, I saw you on the show last night with Chris and I tracked you down.
Wow.
And so of course I'm freaking out and totally unprepared, but I'm not unprepared because I'd played those songs 1,000 times and I knew how to play all that stuff. So I show up at the studio and I knock at the door and Johnny Cash opens the door and says, are you going to stand there with your mouth open? Or are you going to come in and play that thing? So a lot of this stuff, if you Google Jesse Dayton, Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, that first day, a lot of footage shows up online because they were filming it. Wow. So anyway, that was the beginning of, you know, doing the session thing.
Incredible. JesseDayton.com. The new album is Death Wish Blues. With my very minimal knowledge of actually how music is played, just the fact that I love it, I can tell you this guy is a performer. You will see a show that you will walk away just going, wow, that is great music, great singer. By the way, singing and playing a guitar, that can't be an easy thing to do. This is from a layman, okay? But when I look at you and you're playing guitar or Samantha Fish and you're also singing and you're carrying that through the whole set, that can't be easy to do. I mean, is a lot of that reflex? What is that?
Well, I think it's probably, you know, I mean, sure, there are people that can do it and people who can't do it, but it's also like muscle memory stuff that I think athletes kind of, you know, draw on that. And I think it's kind of that same thing. But I also think, you know, when you're a kid and you're sitting around playing these simple little cowboy chords, D, G, E, F, you know, whatever, stuff like that, If you find yourself humming along and not realizing that you're doing it while you're doing it, you're probably a singer in waiting.
Wow.
I hated the way my voice sounded for years. I was young and I sounded like Mickey Mouse. And you go back and listen to those early recordings of me, and people don't seem to be bothered by it. But for me, you know, I didn't grow into my shoes vocally until I got a little older. And it's a weird thing, but you know, no, when nobody wants to be the singer, Glenn, you got to still play the gig. So.
I'll tell you, I look at it and I go, that's not an easy thing to do. And then to just be, what song is next? I mean, all the other things that you got to carry, you got to lead. And it's pretty remarkable. Jesse, thank you so much for doing this. This was a lot of fun for me. You're a more fun interview than a lot of soccer players, I can tell you that.
Well, I'm impressed with soccer. And by the way, you did a great job of interviewing a musician. That was all really interesting stuff. It wasn't the same all stuff. Where were you born? That kind of stuff. You'd be surprised. But I did get to go see a game. I got to see a soccer game in Madrid.
Oh.
And we were on tour there like years ago. And I got to say, man, it was like a Pentecostal church in East Texas, like magnified by about a billion times. It was like religion, dude. Those people were, I was looking around, like thinking like at any time, this place could just go up in flames because I mean, the passion was off the charts. So I loved it.
Yeah, that's a great story right there to end it. Jesse, that's awesome. Thank you so much. We really appreciate everything, and thank you for coming on tonight.
I'll see you on Twitter, brother.
What a fantastic interview that was. That was so refreshing for me to talk music. And, you know, sometimes when somebody's not an expert like the person they are interviewing is, as in this case with Jesse Dayton, some good things can happen. That was so much fun. Really, really enjoyed it. And we'll do a little bit more music in the future. I don't know if it'll top that interview with Jesse Date. We'll take a quick break here. Quick reminder on the same theme, LamontBrands.com. You get your Soccer Matters t-shirt, trucker hat there. All the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity, provides scholarships to cancer patients, as we mentioned, awareness, fundraising. This show is a platform for spreading pediatric cancer awareness. LamontBrands.com. Get your Soccer Matters t-shirt or trucker hat. We'll take a break. We got more to come.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We continue on here tonight, and as always, big piece of our show has always been creating awareness around pediatric cancer, fundraising, scholarships. And we've got a big event coming up this weekend, Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic. It'll be hosted by the youth soccer club, SG1 Soccer. You can sign up at sg1soccer.com. Here's what it's about. It's 6 to 8 p.m. Sunday in Katy. It benefits the Snowdrop Foundation, which is a 501c charity, which creates awareness, fundraising, and scholarships for pediatric cancer patients. The event will be held at KDISC, which is the sports complex, 2029 Pecan Lane. And as you know, over the years, we've done a ton of stuff. We've done dinners with Manchester United players. Our great friend Tom Clare, the author, has helped to organize those. Numerous clinics, Cyfair Dynamos have been doing it. And this weekend, well, we'll even have a pediatric cancer survivor speaking to the young athletes by the name of Ethan Hughes. So this weekend, we're glad and really proud and thankful that SG1 Soccer is going to host this. And the head of SG1 Soccer joins us now. He's a good friend of mine, also a commentator. You know him for his coverage of the Houston Dynamo. He is Alex Parra. Alex, thank you very much for coming on. We got a big weekend in store on Sunday.
We do. First of all, Glenn, it's always an honor to be with you and on this program. What you do for the soccer community is huge. So thank you for allowing me to be a part of it. And mainly what you talked about, the initiative that's coming up this Sunday, April 30th, Snowdrop Foundation at Katy International Sports Complex.
All right. So let's give people a little bit of an idea what goes on for 2 hours. Obviously, we'll have guest speakers there. There will be a lot of soccer playing going on. But what do you guys have planned? Generally, it's really a good, fun 2 hours, technique work, small-sided games. And your whole staff is there. And we do want to thank you and your entire staff and your organization for doing this, because you're doing this on your time. Your coaches are coming out who are extremely busy to do this on their time. And honestly, not everyone we ask wants to make this commitment. And that's okay, because I know people are busy with their youth clubs. But you and Cyfair Dynamo, and Cyfair Dynamo's done it for, I think, about 16 years. You guys are carrying the flag right now. A big thank you to you and your staff. And tell me how you get the buy-in from them, because we all know at the end of the day here, this is about pediatric cancer awareness.
And that's the foundation, Glenn. Anybody that knows what Snowdrop has done for years, what you have done to help Snowdrop, what Olivier has done with Cyfair Dynamos for Snowdrop, it's a no-brainer, as they say. Helping any of us to be more aware of what Snowdrop does to help families that have to go through pediatric cancer issues is huge. That speaks for itself. We at SG1, from our coaches to our admin to our families to our players, recognize the importance of it. Yes, we'll get out there, we'll have fun, we'll kick the ball around, we'll talk. But at the end of the day, as a community, we're coming together, Glenn, because we recognize the importance of getting behind this cause. It's something that can affect, and unfortunately affects, many of us. And we've got to be there to help each other, to support each other. That's what drives it. For those of you that may be interested, there's several ways you can be involved. We'd love to have you there on Sunday, April 30th, Katy International Sports Complex, 6 to 8 p.m. You'll get literally some of the best coaches in town to help you or your children kick the ball around a little bit, learn some basics about the sport, play a little bit, and also hear from people that are living this, survivors, that have gone through this. And Glenn, you and I talk about the world of sports and soccer in particular, winning and losing and what importance we place on that. This is real life. This is really winning what families go through. And for us to just be a little part of it is all we can ask for. So it's a fun time. It's a way to help our community. And we will continue doing this. It's the least we can do. And we're proud and honored to be part of what you've done for many years, Glenn. So we thank you. And of course, Snowdrop.
All right. I hope all of you have it in your hearts here. You can also donate, by the way. It's only $55. It includes the T-shirts. The proceeds go back to the Snowdrop Foundation. The Snowdrop Foundation is a 501c charity. It's been doing great work with pediatric cancer. You can sign up at sg1soccer.com, sg1soccer.com, or snowdropfoundation.org, snowdropfoundation.org. Ethan Hughes, who was a motocross, very highly talented motocross rider. He is someone that has beaten cancer. He will be out there to speak to the kids. He's an amazing speaker. He's a very brilliant young man. And I do want to remind you of one really big stat here right now that people have to listen to here. And just take this into your hearts here and listen to this, especially if you have healthy children. Pediatric cancer is the second leading cause of death amongst children between 1 through 14. Okay, I'll say that one more time. Pediatric cancer is the second leading cause of death between children ages 1 to 14. If your children are healthy, just take a moment to think about that. Over the years, we've visited so many patients in the hospital handing out soccer balls, and we've seen amazing success stories, and we've also seen stories that are very difficult. We just lost a great friend, Freddie Reyes. Our great friend, Tom Clare, is battling cancer right now. He's not a pediatric cancer patient. He's a great author from Manchester, England, but it is challenging. So that's the bigger, broader picture, but it's also 2 hours of fun playing soccer, Alex.
Absolutely. And look, there can be a balance there, Glenn, where we as a soccer community, I go back to it, can come together regardless of club, regardless of level, regardless of whether you're a Man U, a Houston Dynamo, or a Chivas fan. This brings us all together. It's something that affects and can affect everybody in our community. Any of you that are listening to us, you may have friends, you may have family, you may have anybody around you, coworkers that are going through this, often in silence. Often also, you've got to think about this. The money raised helps families deal with the financial burden of this. Forget the heart aspect, the emotional aspect. Any of us going through this would be very difficult. How can we help others? It's not even about paying it forward. It's about being human, Glenn, and realizing we're all in this together. I've talked about that. I've preached about that for years. We may be different political parties. We may be fans of different MLS and or national teams. But this is one thing that unites us as humans, that we have to go through this. And let's be there to support each other. Glenn, all of us at some point will go through something. That's just life. How can we make it easier and better for families, for children? And we love what you have done. Glenn, I go back to it, not to praise you or overpraise you. I don't want you to get a big head, but you've certainly done a great job in pushing this and helping all of us be more aware of it. So, yeah, please, if any of you can join us on Sunday, we'd appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Sunday again, let me just remind you. And by the way, this is open to all soccer clubs. To Alex's Absolutely. Point of this being something as a Houston community, as a soccer community, we can – pull all the oars in the same direction. Listen, our soccer community, we have to take some responsibility for things. We can't just take. We all have to kind of take responsibility for things. I know all the clubs, 99% of them are doing things for others, which is fantastic. That's the charitable side of every organization that young people should be taught about. So we appreciate that. Again, Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic, Sunday in Katy, April 30th, 6 to 8 p.m. It benefits the Snowdrop Foundation. $55 includes a T-shirt. It's at the Katy ISC Sports Complex. You sign up at sgonesoccer.com, sgonesoccer.com. Also, snowdropfoundation.org. You'll have speakers there. There'll be testimony. A lot of great playing, small-sided games. Everybody's going to score a couple goals before the day's over. That's a guarantee, I think. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's exciting to see clubs like SG1 and Cyfair Dynamos step up. And by the way, if anybody's out there right now that's with a club and wants to get involved with this next year, the more the merrier. We want you there. And the recipient is the Snowdrop Foundation, which is a 501c charity. By the way, the other really important thing that they do is they bring scholarships to kids. So a lot of this fundraising also goes to pediatric cancer patients who apply for and win scholarship money. So it's important. There are 12 different types of pediatric cancer challenges, I guess is what we'll say. There's 12 types of cancer when it comes to affecting kids 1 through 14. Bone, brain stem, tumors and cancer, blood, liver, it goes on and on. Hodgkin's. I've met every single kid that's had every single one of these. And these are some of the bravest, most amazing kids on the planet. They carry a different air around them. They seem to me accelerated in their maturity a lot of times. Their parents are going through a lot. So, again, this is if we have healthy children, this is a good one to think about. It's Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic Sunday in Katy. And your coaching staff, I mean, we have to really thank them for that. Again, and I'm going to repeat myself because, you know, being in the youth soccer business and out there working with kids, the number one priority is mentoring and teaching and setting tremendous examples. There's the football side of it. But it is a lot of work. It is a grind, and coaches are out there consistently. So for your coaches to dedicate this time on their own, fantastic.
We're honored. And yes, they give of their time to be there. They want to participate in helping others. And look, I they don't complain, but I know that it's a grind at the end of the weekend, especially after being around multiple games on Saturdays, on Sundays. But I see the smiles when they arrive. I see that we come together, not only as SG1, but I go back to it, Glenn, any club, anybody involved in the soccer community, anybody involved in the Katy or Houston community, this is something that we all need. And look, it's not only about what it makes us feel. We certainly feel better. I certainly get a smile and a tear when I hear about these real life examples of what families are going through. It makes us hopefully try to help others. We get so caught up in our daily day-to-day lives, Glenn, and whether or not we have the right water or I'm driving the right vehicle. It's taken me a few years to figure this out, sir, but that's just stuff. That's just stuff. How can you help someone now? How can you help someone in the future by the way you behave, by the way, I don't want to say you leave a legacy, but certainly the way you teach and help others. Glenn, you and I have been through involved in soccer in this community since the 80s, at the very least. We know the sport. We know how much it's grown, the good, the bad, and the ugly of the sport. But I know you've given back. One of my main drives is what can we give back to leave a positive example? Are we perfect? No, we're not. But we certainly want to help others. And this is a great way to do it. Thank you for allowing us, Glenn, to be a part of it as far as SG1. Thank you to the coaches that will be out there, our administrators, our families, and any of you that want to please participate, SG1soccer.com. We'd love to have you be there.
All right. That's where you sign up. Alex said it best, SG1soccer.com or snowdropfoundation.org. Let's get after it. Let's get people out there this Sunday. Alex, a big thank you to you and SG1 Soccer, and thank you for coming on here today.
It's an honor, Glenn, always. Thank you for what you do for our soccer community and for all of those that are listening, that are watching, that are following you. We need to support more what you're doing, what you've done for years. And thank you, sir. We appreciate being part of Soccer Matters. We appreciate being part of our soccer community. Thank you, Glenn.
All right. And the last thing I'll say is if you're out there with another club, so I'm calling out some of you, Albion Hurricanes, Pearland Soccer. I don't care who you are, Houstonians. Why don't you guys contact me? I'm going to call you onto the carpet right now. Contact me and let's set you guys up for doing one next year. And we'll show you the great support that we can, but we can make this thing a little bit bigger like it was in the old days. We had back in the old days, maybe 7 or 8 clubs. All right. That was Alex Parra, SG1 Soccer. Last time, Sunday and Katie, you sign up for the Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic to benefit Snowdrop Foundation. It is this Sunday. And you do it at sg1soccer.com or snowdropfoundation.org. All right, that does it for Soccer Matters here tonight on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. By the way, a podcast of this show at ESPN975.com. Show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, daspitlaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. They're bilingual. You get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, you know where to go. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. By the way, John and his firm also presenting our show on the horn in Austin, Texas. Daspit Law, Austin.com, 512-CALL-NOW. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. Again, podcast ESPN975.com. Please keep giving us the likes and the comments and all. It makes a big difference when we're out there. Keeping the show on the air. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in here tonight. Until next Tuesday night, remember, soccer matters.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.